This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
There is a stirring in my spirit. A stirring in my spirit like probably no other time. As I pray with my Father, as I get in front of God, as I just get in a quiet place, my spirit's being so stirred about this hour. And you know, everything around us, you hear all kinds of things about this hour. And most of the things that you hear about this hour, that you hear about God, that you hear about church, does not align itself with what the Word says. God did not come and die on a cross for us to have a weak church, a powerless church. God came and he died on a cross, as it's been said, the veil's been torn. He's done what he was going to do for the church to be victorious. I am not going to be ashamed to preach the gospel from this pulpit. It's never been a pulpit that's been pleasing to the ear. It's been a pulpit of truth. And I'll continue to stand humbled that the many men, the many women before that have stood before me at this pulpit, that now today the founding pastor cannot even stand anymore. I'll humble myself and I'll say, God, you continue what you've started. You'll be the one. I have to tell you that I'm a transformed man. I'm transformed by not only the cross, transformed by what Jesus has done for me on the cross. I'm transformed because of the fire and because of the flood. Some of you understand that this morning. For me to bow down, it's nothing for me to do that. It's nothing for me to really stand in front of you. But for me to be a man of God, and for me to hear what God is speaking, for me to proclaim boldly what he's saying in this hour, for me to gum against the resistance of what the enemy's trying to do, it's not an easy task. You know, the enemy's real. And I'm here to tell you that in the battle, I have lost a mother, I've lost a brother, I've lost a sister, real. It's not to put fear over the body. But one thing that God wants me to speak into you today, that I'm standing in front of you, and I'm here to tell you that the devil himself that's in hell today, I'm not afraid of. Amen. We're not trembling on what he's trying to do in this world, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And there's one thing that I know, for sure, that I know without a doubt, that I know without any kind of reasoning, that I know that he is in front of us and that he's leading and that it's him that's fighting the battle. And so, you know, out of anguish, and that's a word that's not used too much in the church today, but out of anguish, and anguish is a great pain. Anguish is this great sorrow that's happened on the inside of us. Some of you right now understand the word anguish. Of losing a son, like he said, that anguish of losing children, anguish of losing a mate. You understand that right now, of that meeting God in a whole different way. But I'm here to tell you that when God wants to use you, he's going to pick you, he's going to choose you, he's going to look for a man, he's going to look for a woman, he's going to look for a faithful person, and then automatically you're going to be baptized in anguish. Come on. Let me tell you what's happened today. And many references about the church is not Jesus' church. Because his church is victorious. His church has power. His church, there's healing. His church, there's transformation. And if you're not in that church, you're not being transformed. You're hearing it, you're feeling it, you're looking at it. It feels good, but there's no change that's happening in your life. There's going to be a day this year that at the post of this door, thank you, brother, at the post of these doors, actually on this property, God showed me this, that there's going to be a Holy Spirit conviction that when you come on the property, you're not even going to be able to get into the building because you're going to fall down on your face because of the sin that's in our lives. I don't speak that to you. I speak that to me. Come on. I'm not here pointing my finger. I'm not here beating the pulpit. I'm here submitting myself, leading you as God's people, saying, people, get ready. People, get ready. I want to speak before I preach this morning. And I'm just praying these prayers. Lord, if you've ever needed a man or woman, Lord, if you've ever needed a man or a woman, God, if you've ever needed a pastor to rise up, a man of God who is in touch with you, who knows your heart, who breaks with your heart, God, rise them up now. Raise them up now. Let me tell you something about the movie Nefarious, which is on the 23rd. See, God is not after a good idea. Most of the things that are happening in this world today that has religion tacked on it is about a good idea, a good thing. This sounds good. This looks good. This feels good. How many things do we have about how to? I'm not here to teach you. He's here to teach us. How to lead someone to Christ. How to do this. How to do that. I'm not against those things, but I'm tired of those things. Because we learn a lot of things and we get our notebooks out and we write it down, but very rarely do we go out and do we do it. I'm somewhat frustrated with many people, and I want to just stop and say, stop. Stop speaking about the revival. Stop saying there's going to be an awakening. Stop, because all of those words are just words. Just speaking. You're just going to speak because we're in an environment of God. But when you walk out, those words are not real to you. When people ask me to pray for their children, I'm honored to pray. But I'm going to start looking at them and saying, are you praying for your children? Because I'm telling you, I am not going to sit. And I don't understand and I don't know the movies or the shows right now that's on the TV. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to sit 2 or 3 hours and watch TV every night and see my children go to hell. Preaching to myself, church. This thing about us saying it's time. See, he's already done what he's going to do. But for us to rise up where no other person has risen up, where Noah, has the city been reached for Christ yet? No, it hasn't. And we've had men and we've had women of God in this city like no other, like no one maybe even sitting in this room today. Men and women and men and women of God that have went out to this city. And God is speaking to us, his body, saying it's time. It's time. It's time. I don't want to sound hard today. I asked God for a nice message, and I have one. But he wanted me to start off by speaking about anguish. Because anything that's birthed is going to be birthed through anguish. Let me tell you, out of just my 7 years of leading, but my years of being a Christian and seeing 38-year member of this church, things that get started out of a good idea or out of a thought or I want to do this or I can try to do this, every one of them die. But things that get started by the hands of God through tears on our knees, shedding tears, saying, God, you've called me. God, you're the one. God, I'm nobody. I'm going to rise up as your servant. God, this is your ministry. God, this is you. God, this is all about you. Those are the things that are going to last. Because it's all about him. There'll be a day, and the Bible calls just, my life is just a vapor. And I was speaking to my wife the other day, and I told her just all the things that God has called in my life right now, that I have a season to live here on this earth, that it's not my time because I'm called so many things, and the ones behind me, my children, are not ready to take the mantle. And so I know I have a season of time to progress and to press forward into what God has for me to do. But I'm not going to waste my time. Come on, do you hear that today? You know, I'm not too concerned about what the walking dead. If I'm concerned about the walking dead, they're out in this city walking everywhere dead, going to hell. Come on. I'm going to have to speak some things this year like I've never spoke before. We're not used to a man of God. We're not used to the correction that's going to need to come. We're not used to the things that are going to need to be said. We're not used to aligning ourselves. We're used to a message, and the message is real, grace and mercy. I'm not coming off of the message of grace and mercy, but we're so used to that message. We're so used to what it says. We're so used to the watered down thing that I can do anything and everything. We have walked away from the cross. And although the cross is there and we know what's happened, I can live over here because of grace and mercy and I can do whatever I want to do. Over there at the cross is where purpose and destiny is. At the cross with my knees bent down is where I'm going to hear a word from God that's going to speak into one of my children, that's going to pull them out of darkness into the light. It's not going to happen over here. Over there at the cross, with me walking close to the cross, me standing at the cross, me dying to the cross, me dying to my life, me saying, God, it's about you, not about me, is going to align me into what he has for me to do today. And that's the only thing. I'm not living to buy a boat. Come on. I'm not living to progress and to get this. I'm living today for God. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because I've been baptized in anguish. I say that because I've been in the fire. I've been in the flood. And there's nothing else other than what God has for us. Everything else is going to fade away. You hear this all the time. You're not going to see a U-Haul going to heaven. Haven't you heard that? I've been driving with a U-Haul for 8 days thinking about that. This U-Haul is not going to heaven. Let's turn quickly to Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I want to tell you how much, as a person, I love each and each one of you. How much all God's called me to do is set the table up for you. That's what I'm called to do. I don't need recognition. I don't need anybody to say, good. I get that from my Father. But because God has called me to do it, there has to be people that come to the table. Because I'm setting the table, there needs to be people that come to the table. The invitation has always been in front of us to go out and to get all the people for the banquet, to go out and get all the people for the feast, and there was few to be found. I'll boldly proclaim that we will see Rosenberg and Richmond come to Christ. We will see this region bow their knee to God. And it's going to be through people like me and you. Amen? Mark chapter 1, let's read it. When Jesus returned, he returned to the region of the Sea of Galilee, home of Peter. Several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there were no room. Even outside the door, people were everywhere. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on the mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?" So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority of the earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. I want to focus on this next sentence. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. I'll give you a piece of the vision of 2015. It's this scripture in verse 12. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. There's going to be some stunned onlookers. It's going to be some stunned onlookers. They're going to be stunned by, isn't that that church that tragedy happened in? Wow. It's going to be some stunned onlookers. Is that that church that young, good looking? Is that church that radical guy leads? Some stunned onlookers in 2015, they were amazed and praised to God. Isn't it amazing how he gets the glory? It's not about me. And this is what happened. We have never seen anything like this before. Wes, you're going to see some things that you've never seen before. And he's going to get the glory. They were all amazed and glorified God. They were amazed and God was the one that was glorified. They were amazed and they didn't say, well, look at what we did. We really planned good. They were amazed and they didn't say, well, man, the month of January, what we planned, Blake, it went real well and look what happened. They were all amazed and they stopped right there and they said, God, you get the glory. Only you. Because they've seen things they've never seen before. Let's look quickly at Psalms chapter 87, verse 1. I'll just read it. Look 1 through 3. On the holy mountain stands a city founded by the Lord. He loves the city of Jerusalem more than any other city in Israel. O city of God, what glorious things are said of you. The church that Jesus spoke on, the city of God, is his church. You know, if you come and you talk about my wife, I don't like it. You talk about my children, I'm going to say, hey, hey, hey. I don't like when people talk about his church. When they say his church lacks power. I don't like that. Or when they say, look at all that junk happening in his church. Because I'm here to say, no, that's not his church. Because if we look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, let me read you a little bit about his church. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved his church. He gave up his life for her. See, Christ gave up his life for us to be doing what we're doing today. To make her holy and clean. Washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. That's his church. Come on. That's his church. His church has the power that it's always had. Let me tell you what God is speaking today. God is calling for a glorious ministry to rise in 2015. He's calling for a glorious ministry, which we've talked about quite a bit, to be a body ministry. Let me give you a definition of a body ministry. It's believers operating together in a common purpose under the lordship of Jesus and yielding to the respecting of all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. A body ministry. God has called us to be a body ministry. A lot of people like to say, well, look at what's going on. Look at the pastor. Look at his family. Look at what they're doing. But see, God is no longer going to rise up only a man. He's going to rise up a body. So you know what, Reuben? If they talk about you, they talk about me. We're family. I know that. Ricky, if you're going through it, I'm going through it. You might be in front and I might be behind you, but brother, I'm there because we're body. If we can get a revelation of what God has done for us of putting us in the body, where members in particular come together and succeed together in one purpose with one vision, there's power in that. Jesus is coming back for his body. He's the head, we're the body. How many times have you heard me say that? That's all I'm supposed to proclaim. I'm just part of the body. I don't take that lightly. I know what my place is here in the body. God is calling each one of us to rise up in our place here in the body. Believers operating together in a common purpose under the lordship of Jesus and yielding to and respecting all of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The common purpose or goal has to be part of an overall vision. The word speaks very clearly that people perish without vision. Write the vision on the wall. Amen? The vision of Church of Living Waters is spirit, soul, and body to align ourselves with Christ. It talks much about hope, healing, freedom, come on, ability to receive his love, equipping, empowering, and sending out. That's what we're here to do. Each individual must use his gifts, abilities, resources to work towards the goal to fulfill the vision. Let me give you a quick illustration. This has always been in my heart. Right now, I'm standing in front of you with at least 50 ministries in my heart. Next week, I'm going to share about 20 of them. Some we're pressing forward in, some we're going to be starting. I am vision fat. That's what's wrong with me. To give you an example, I have always had a vision, and you've heard me, if you've been around me, you've heard me talk about this, a bus ministry at Church of Living Waters. Now, bus ministries have been amazing over the years. And many churches a while back has had buses and they went out and they picked up people. But you don't see it happening anymore. Is it not happening because it's just dead and no one rides the bus anymore? Or is it not happening because the body hasn't risen up to buy a bus, to get a driver for the bus, to finance the gas for the bus, to go out? There's one man in this room today that could stand up and say, he knows many people that need a ride to church. Am I right, Ricky? That bus works, doesn't it? Through your tithes and offerings, we purchase a bus, maintain the proper insurance, provide the necessary gas and maintenance. Many individuals are involved, bus drivers, mechanics, route visitors going to the people, asking them if they can send their children, teachers and aides in children's church. When you pick up kids, they're not going to understand church, so you need people sitting with them in church. Come on. What if one man had to do everything? That ministry would be impossible. Our goal, to bring children and their families to Jesus so that they can be healed in spirit, soul, and body, and they can start being in the process of hope, healing, come on, freedom. Let me tell you about bus ministry. We can stand and say, well, every home here has two cars. But let me tell you something. Those cars are not getting out on Sunday mornings, putting their kids and youth in it, driving them to church, and opening up the doors for them to come into church. We must go pick them up. Consider the four men in our text. Imagine carrying a man laying on a blanket with a man holding each corner of the blanket. It would take cooperation for us to get that man into the building. All four would have to be holding the same direction, heading the same direction, distributing the weight together. Suppose one man wanted to take the paralyzed man to the synagogue, and one wanted to take him to the doctor, and one wanted to take him to the bath where he's going to be healed. It is obvious what would have to happen for this man to be sick, to be healed. What was the goal of the vision of these four men? And this was their vision, and this is our vision today. Let's go out and let's pick up people and let's bring them into the presence of God. Come on. To get the paralyzed man into the presence of Jesus. They knew that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, that something was going to happen. Did they have obstacles? Was it difficult? They could not come nigh unto him for the press of people. They had to find another way. Where there was a will, guess what? There's a way. And they went up on top of the roof and made a hole, and they lowered him in front of Jesus. We will meet many obstacles. Come on. In 2015, there's going to be many obstacles. God is speaking that it's time, but the enemy is not going to allow, not going to want. They're going to meet many, many obstacles that are going to come, and they're going to be individual. Individual are things like, look at him. Who does he think he is? Come on. Talking about each other, murmuring, backbiting, all of these things is individual things. Like, wow. Corporately, some things are going to happen. But I'm here to tell you, as we press through the crowd, press through the things, and press into the presence, it's all about his presence. Come on. Each individual involved can decide to quit anywhere along the way. And the vision will tarry, as the word of God says in Habakkuk 2:2. The vision will wait until someone can pick up the fourth corner of that blanket and continue to carry the man. There's been many of you called here recently because through the tragedy and through the healing of what God has called us to go through and the body that's come one, many of you have been called because there's a corner of the blanket that's down. And you've been called just to pick that up. I'll be faithful. I'll carry this where it needs to go. Amen? If you just leave without telling anybody, no one even knows that the corner of the blanket is not even being carried unless it's a sick man. He's dragging a leg right now as the three are taking him in. He's already sick. He doesn't need any further injury. If you, as an assigned intercessor, and one of the things that's in the vision this year, as we read back over the years, that this house, Church of Living Waters, is called a house of prayer. There's a vision of this house that there will be 24-hour, 7 days a week of prayer that's happening in this house. Come on. So there has to be some alignment. I'm not saying we have to start that, but we do need to start men and women corporate prayer here at Church of Living Waters. We're going to be starting a women's prayer time once a week, coming together. Most of that prayer is going to be praying in tongues. I'll just tell you. Because we connect with his heart by praying in tongues. It strengthens the body. It strengthens us. It heals us as we speak out in his prayer language. Let me tell you something. We're not alone. Jesus' part has already been done. We're partnering with the King of Kings. His part's been done. Jesus' part, a Savior's ministry, Matthew 1, 21. Let's turn there real quick. We're going to plow some ground today and be prepared to what God is telling us this year. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. So Jesus was brought here to save us, what? From our sins. Jesus began with a man's greatest need, our sin. He did not begin by curing him of the leprosy or the palsy or the paralyzed in this scripture. He didn't say, stand up and you're healed. He met the man right where he was, and he says that your sins are forgiven. I praise God for his grace and mercy. I praise God that on the cross my sins are forgiven. But I'm not going to be a man of God, that's going to live and live and live in sin. Let me tell you, when I fall, there is a conviction that comes over me that I must rise up and stand up and make myself right. Right with people, right with God, where I can get close back to the cross and I can continue the will and the purpose and plan that he has for me. You know what sin does? Sin is covered on the cross. But what sin does is sin hurts people. The sin that I'm involved in is going to hurt my wife and going to hurt my children. I'm here to tell you that. And you know, God's come and he sent his son for our sins. That does not give me excuse to continue. Now, I understand the trap of sin. But that's why we have hope. That's why we have healing. That's why we have freedom. His name's Jesus. He didn't just come just to halfway do it. He came to set us free. The strip of the enemy and what the enemy has done, living in sin nature, he's come and he died on a cross and he extended the blood of Jesus Christ for us to get into the program and for us to be saved, come on, and then us to make him Lord of our lives. You know what? The word talks about people that are living in sin. And the word says that although if they receive Christ, that they'll enter in the kingdom of God, that they'll be the least of the ones. Whoa, feeling something there. They'll be the least of the ones. I'm not going to heaven to be the least. Because guess what? My life here on this earth represents Christ. My life here on this earth, many people are watching me. My life here on this earth, I'm leading my 6 kids. I'm leading my wife. I'm caring for my father. I don't have time to lead them in the wrong way. I want to lead them out of the family, out of the sin that my father has stood so long now against, out of generation after generation. I don't want to lead them into more. Let me tell you, I'm not perfect. Many of you know that. But you will see me bow my knees every time I come into this place and say, God, clean me. Cleanse me. Because there is a Holy Spirit conviction on me. And I understand that he has covered me with his skin, with his coat. But God, because you are so good to me, because you love me so much, I will align myself to you. Come on. He did not say that they shall be forgiven, whatever they may have been. He didn't say your sins are forgiven. What he meant and he said is that your sins have been forgiven. They have always been forgiven. They always will be forgiven because of the cross. I don't take lightly what he's done for me. As I received him and I received him in my life and my sins were cleansed, and they always will be cleansed. Amen? I'm not here just to continue. I'm here to say, God, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I want to be what you've called me to be. And I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Amen? Jesus went on to physically heal the man. But that was nothing compared to him forgiving the man. Jesus could speak and 10,000 angels could have came down and stopped everything. It was nothing compared to him dying on a real cross, bleeding out all of his blood. There was tears in his eyes that were actually blood, even thinking it was a baptism of anguish that Jesus had to go through. It's not just words, it's real what he's done for us. And because he's done that for us, we stand, and we stand together, and we're unified as a body to continue to go out and to do what he's called us to do. I've said a lot of things today. I'm aligning Church Living Waters with God's word. I can't align it, amen, but he can. And I praise God that he gives us the written word, but he also is speaking to me very clearly with his word, speaking very clear with his not only rhema word, but his spoken word. And I can speak as I spoke to this young man, Bright, and I look so forward to coming along with Bright, becoming his friend, taking him to get a hamburger. I love hamburgers, Bright. I can speak that to every one of you right now. I know God's purpose and plan, at least the start of it. But God has told me to wait for you to come to the table. But have the table prepared, have the table ready. And most of that preparing and readiness is preparing ministry that God has called you into. And it's just going to be a door that I'm helping open up that God is opening up for you to walk right through. And together we're going to see great and mighty. He has not put 50 ministries in my heart, in my spirit, for me to be alone by myself to go out and do it. If Church of Living Waters was going to have a bus ministry, I would have already done it. But I couldn't do it by myself. And these ministry that he's given me, I cannot do it by myself. So I have to say, God, let your body arise. When I see men like Reuben coming to me saying, I want to start another men's ministry on Tuesday night. Some men can't come on Wednesday and some need this. All my heart starts doing is beating. Thank you, God. There comes one rising up, coming to the table. Come into your table, God. You know, when I have someone come and say, I want to do this. My heart just starts, yes, thank you, God. You're going to help us get there, God. Because it's going to be individual members that's going to reach this city for Christ that corporately are going to come together. Come on. Church of Living Waters, are you ready? We can no longer put things in compartments. I go to school. I come home. I do my homework. I go to church. I'm a Christian. We can no longer put it in compartments. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we have to allow God to move corporately, move in our lives, and everything in all that we are is him, and everything else aligns. Come on. Last example. I got 6 kids, 5 girls and a boy. You know that. My kids are borderline crazy. I have pictures of us staying in the hotel, 8 people. Okay, the hotel, maybe you get 2 beds. And why do they have 2 beds that are full-size beds? With all the people I need to get in, it's me, my wife, Michaela, Kennedy, Hayden, Jairus, trying to push each other off. There's a sleeping bag. Go over on the sleeping bag. There's no way I could father 6 kids. See, I'm not fathering them just for them to be good kids. I'm allowing God to use me to father them for them to be world changers. Every one of them. And I can't do that on my own. So I'm here to tell you, it's not like me saying, okay, here's the rock, here's my kids, let me put that in. Here's you, God, you're first, let me put you above my kids. No. It's me going completely with everything that I have to God, saying, God, I'm nobody, you're everything in my life. I need all of you. And then my life is aligned. Then I can be a father to 6. Then I can love my wife like he wants me to love her. Then I can care for my father. Then I can go and be a pastor. Then. But only by putting him there and saying, God, I'm all in with you. Many times God will say, Darren, talk to Christina today. I want you to spend a moment with her. And if I would have heard him say that, I would have never been able to spend that moment. When I spend that moment, you wouldn't believe what God does in that. Next week, I'm going to be talking about a fragrance of Jesus. Do you know that there's really a fragrance of God? Because of anguish and because of what God has done in my life, we could go out today and you could see people smell God in me. They're attracted to me. It's not about me, it's about God. I don't have to go out and look to witness. They come to me. I don't have to go out and do this. It's come to me. And let me tell you, the benefit of being at Church of Living Waters is the scar that's happened in this church has the fragrance of God that's flowing in and out of it, this ministry. Come on. You're part of that by being here today. You can be all smelled up today by being here and going out and reaching a dying world. Come on. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? As Blake comes today and you stand, I want to tell you a few things I'm believing for. If I'm going to coach a basketball team, Kip, I'm not going to coach them just to go out there and get beat. I'm going to coach them to win. If I'm standing up here representing King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I'm standing representing Jesus. I'm an ambassador of him. I'm not just going to halfway give it to you. He didn't halfway give it to me. I'm not just going to halfway try to do it. I want to stand in front of God and I want to say, God, I did all that I could. I finished the race and I'm ready. I want to pass on the baton to someone that's going to have the same zeal that's been passed on to me. And that zeal doesn't come just lightly. Now, I've said a lot. It's going to come together next week. Come. I believe that God is going to birth a vision in your heart next week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.